Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Now I'm in love again. No, this time it's not with my hand. Wandering, murdering.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The artist known as Fantastic Negrito got a big boost when this song, An Honest Man, was chosen as the theme song for the TV series Hand of God, and another big boost when he won NPR's Tiny Desk Concert competition. But those are just two recent steps on a long and winding road for the man born Xavier DeFrepolez. Under the name Xavier, he signed a major label deal and released an LP back in the 90s, leaving behind a strict Muslim upbringing to lead the wild life of a pop star. But that ended with a near-fatal car accident, a coma, and years relearning how to play his instruments. He created his Fantastic Negrito alter ego after falling under the spell of the blues, and his brand new album is called The Last Days of Oakland. He'll give us a solo set today, starting with About a Bird. It's Fantastic Negrito, live on Soundcheck.
There's a bird at my window. She watches it all. She sells what I'm doing. She watches me fall. There's a bird in the bush. Oh, there's one in my hand. Sweet empty pop lyrics lay waste to her head. Saw the game to me. I live dangerously. And I want it all, but I can't not pay the bill. Take a chance on me. Take a chance on me, baby, baby. Try to hide in the hole. There's a hole in my head, but I broke clean off feathers. Now she's sick in my bed. There's a bird at my funeral. She's singing out loud. How the tears on a pillow won't heal her scars. It's all a game to me. I live dangerously. And I want it all, but I can't not pay the bills. Ooh, take a chance on me. I want you to, baby, 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 please. Take a chance on me. Me. First she wanted me. Then she wanted me dead. First she wanted me. Then she wanted me dead. First she wanted me. Then she wanted me dead. First she wanted me. Then she wanted me dead. Babe, I know. I know. I want it all. I cannot pay the bills, babe. Take a chance on me. I want you to, baby, 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 please. Take a chance on me.
About a bird.
About a bird, indeed. A live performance from Fantastic Negrito, solo acoustic here in the Soundcheck studio. A much kind of multi-textured, layered performance of that song is on the brand new album called The Last Days of Oakland. Fantastic, Negrito. Great to have you with us on Soundcheck.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
In addition to the songs that are on the record, there are these little kind of sound design pieces that frame the album. And the opening of the album is this kind of prologue with various people, including yourself, speaking. And you say this line about, you know, the album's called The Last Days of Oakland, which sounds very apocalyptic. But you point out in this opening prologue that the end of something is the beginning of something else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, my mother didn't like the name of the album, so I had a lot of explaining to do. Yes, I really believe that the end of something is the beginning of something. And every day that ends, the new day is a chance to do something amazing every day that we wake up. And I think I came up with that title in New Orleans. I was playing the Ozzy Fest. Ozzy!
Uh-huh.
I was playing that, and I was just looking around New Orleans, you know, my foster mother who raised me a lot of my life, they were all from Louisiana. I remember being there, and I was like, wow, it's really changed. Like, in every city, major city that I went to in the United States just seemed to, it's changed. Like, you know, a lot of the black population's moving out. Tech is moving in. If you grew up in that city, whatever city you grew up in,
mm-hmm.
you may not be able to live and afford that city anymore. It's just, there's a big change. And I just finished a four-continent, like, 43-date tour, and I felt the same thing in Paris. I felt the same thing in Rome. And you could kind of, it's pervasive. You can feel it everywhere globally that there's just something has changed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't look at it as pessimistically. I mean, we have to then figure out what we're going to do. Because things always change.
Right. And if it is the end of something and the beginning of something else, and you're there at the beginning, then maybe you have a chance to shape what that something else will be.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the word chance. I think as long as we're alive, we always have a chance. You know,
yeah.
Whether it's beginning, middle, wherever it is, you always have a chance. I quit music for 5 years and came back, and I thought I would never come back and play. So we always have a chance. And I like my chances. I like your chances. I like all of our chances.
Yeah. Well, now, this idea of endings and beginnings, I mean, it really defines your story, your personal story, you know? It seems like there have been several kind of major sea changes in your life. You know, the first is going from Xavier DeFrawles, this kid with the weird name, you know, becoming a musician.
That was the first major change, you know, growing up in the Bay Area and then, yeah, deciding to become a musician, which was no one expected because I didn't really grow up playing instruments or I had no interest in music. But I was just...
Is that a cultural thing? I mean, I know in a lot of observant Muslim homes...
No, not at all.
Yeah?
My dad was... I mean, the first song I ever heard growing up was Louis Armstrong. Why do I forget it now? I'm getting old. But that was, no, my dad was always playing music and African music and Indian music and Caribbean
cool.
and classical. And he just wasn't going for the mainstream pop stuff.
I see.
St. Louis Blues. That was the first
time
that I heard that. I remember asking my dad, what is that? And I was five. And so I think I remember going to school and trying to, you know, tell these other 5 and 6 year old kids about Louis Armstrong. And they thought I was crazy, which I was.
Yeah. But that's the great thing about 5 and 6 year old kids. They don't know it's not
right, yeah.
cool music. It's if it catches their ear.
Oh, it just penetrated
yeah.
my dome. I remember listening to that and just like, wow.
Yeah. So you become a musician, you know, you sign the big contract, you have the big record label deal, you're in LA, things are going kind of crazy but kind of well, and then comes the accident.
Hey, you were there, huh?
No.
No, thanks, yeah, I mean, you're a kid, I came from the streets, you know, just, and, you know, to have a record label give me $1 million, it was bizarre.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but then everything was over as soon as I got the money. It was done, finished, because just being a youngster and not understanding that there was a business side to the music, I just thought, yeah, you just write all these songs and they're all cool and everybody likes you and you get fruit baskets on the holidays. You know, I thought that that's what it was, and it was that ended quickly.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of toiled in obscurity for about 5 years on that label until I had the accident, which – kind of maimed me and, you know, destroyed my playing hand. And, you know, I woke up from that coma 3 weeks, and then that's when the second part of my life began. That was kind of my liberation in a very odd way. I was at, like, this crossroad, and I was like, what am I going to do? I can be bitter and hate everyone. Gee, that sounds like fun. Or I could, and I was, I'm actually good at that, you know, but then I thought, you know, I could choose the other road, which was a road of just this optimism. I don't know how I became so optimistic.
When did you become Fantastic Negrito, this kind of third iteration of your
life?
Well,
the second one was, there was so many incarnations, man. Chocolate Butterfly, Blood Sugar X, me and this Japanese guy. So I went through, I was going nuts, but I was having a great time with all this music, and I was finding a second chance financially because I was licensing a lot of music and film. And then I started opening up after hours, like illegal nightclubs in L.A., and then, you know, it became fun. And I did that probably for about 8 years, and then I just quit. Because I figured I had enough when I wanted to get married, have a kid. I wanted to try that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Oakland and back home, and I hooked up with some of the people I grew up with, and we started growing weed.
Mm-hmm.
And got a nice farm going, and that was awesome. That was a great, great life. And then finally I had the kid, and I sold all my equipment. I mean, I had nothing but a crappy guitar. And I just put it under the couch, and I had this little baby, it was my son, and one day I was alone with him, and I could always make faces and make him go to sleep and make him happy, but he wasn't going for it one day. And so I looked around, I saw the guitar, I picked it up. I remember I just played like a G major, and he freaked out, like, oh. And so I thought, wow, this is weird, he's freaking out over music. And I thought, well, it took me a while. I was like, that, it kind of scared me, kind of made me happy, all these mixed emotions. And then I thought, wow, this is kind of the language of humanity, you know, music. And maybe I should, I'm not going to be a musician again, but I'll start teaching him some songs or singing to him. So I used to sing to him. And that was just kind of the step going back slowly. And I was like making up excuses. Well, I should get a piano again because this kid likes music.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always still listening to like roots, black roots music, and started listening to Skip James and Robert Johnson and Charlie Patton. That stuff was blowing my mind. And I thought, wow, maybe I could somehow figure that out. And I did. And I just thought, Fantastic Negrito. That's perfect. Just came to me one day. I remember the moment I came up with it, some people were like, no, it's terrible. Like, white people do not like saying Negrito. You can't do it. This little intern was telling me, we're just not comfortable with that. I'm like, well, too bad. And I really liked the name. And I thought with that name that I could really shine the light on Skip James, Charlie Patton, like these geniuses that I thought a lot of people didn't know about. So I thought, if I call myself Fantastic Negrito, every time someone asks me about that name, I want to say Robert Johnson, I want to say Skip James, so that we get used to these American geniuses that, and especially from the community I come from, we don't really know who those people are.
Exactly, yeah.
So I that's the story of Fantastic Negrito.
So Fantastic Negrito is the superhero who's, you know, truth, justice, and the American, black American roots way or something like that.
And he's a little full of shit, too, so you got to watch him.
So how much of what Fantastic Negrito tells us is the truth or not?
That's the thing you have to decide.
That's
what you got to decide.
Okay. Well, Fantastic Negrito's album is called The Last Days of Oakland. Today he's here playing some solo performances of these songs for us. You want to do Working Poor next?
Working Poor. Should I play Working Poor? Ooh, will it keep on knocking? Will I keep on knocking, but I can't get in? Will I keep on knocking? Will I keep on knocking, but I can't get in? Feel like it's over. Keep clean my city,
misseal my soul.
Keep evil genius,
hardworking people, to the working poor, to the working poor, to the working poor. That's why I just keep on knocking. Well, I keep on knocking, but I can't get in. Well, I keep on knocking. Well, keep on knocking, but I can't get in. In fancy condos, in standing by them, they're my soul. Yeah. And they're in a big house. They live on the floor. Live in a fancy condo. He, she called Popo, 'cause I sang too loud. Step over parties outside the door, outside the door, outside the door. Don't sell your life. Don't sell your life. Everybody just keep on knocking. Well, I keep on knocking, but I can't get in. Keep on knocking. Well, I keep on knocking, but I can't get in. 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 To Stockton, hip feet and monster, I can't live here no more. It's on the condo. Time working people, did it work at Paul? That's why I just keep on knocking. Keep on, well, I keep on knocking, but I can't get in. That's why I just keep on knocking. Well, I keep on knocking, but I can't get in. Keep on knocking, but I can't get in. Keep on knocking, but I cannot get in.
Once again, fantastic Negrito, live acoustic, unplugged here in our soundcheck studio, and a song from his brand new album, The Last Days of Oakland, and that's called Working Poor. And, you know, we were talking before about, you know, studying the blues, going back and finding all this great American roots music, black roots music.
Yes.
The one of the great things about it is these songs were recorded, you know, 60, 70, 80 years ago, and they still are relevant. And a song like that, you know, Working Poor, I mean, that text could have been written back in the 1930s.
That's true, yeah. Skip James, you know, sang about this, you know, in a sense. And, yeah, well, there's something that it's weird. Like, I'd heard this music growing up, even as a youngster, and I could never relate to it. It took me till I was an older gentleman to really understand it and really feel. I think I had to live. I hadn't lived. You know, you're 20 years old. I was into hip hop, and like, I was like, "Where are the drums?" You know, there's no drums in this. And but I remember hearing it in my 40s and just being like, "Holy shit!" Like, just it's just touching my spirit. And you know, that you're right. I mean, it's, nothing's changed really, right?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the kind of like, keep on knocking, but I can't get in. I mean, that's kind of a familiar
Little
blues
Richard.
Trope.
Yeah.
Well, Fats Domino, right. I hear right. you knocking, but right. you can't. Except it's kind of turned around here. And, you know, at a time where there's a lot of attention on economic inequality, that idea of knocking on the door and not being allowed into the club.
That's true. I mean, I wrote a lot about that. It's, you know, we're really living in a pretty interesting time. And I guess we always live in interesting times, but, and I think when your leaders have failed you, which is the case in the United States, I think it is up to artists, comedians. This is our time. And I always tell artists at all shows, hey, start producing stuff. Get out there, man. Let's organize because people need us. Because artists, we will, being the exhibitionists we are, we will, we're happy to tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, to the point that you actually on the record do a version of In the Pines, the great old American kind of murder ballad, also known as Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
Right.
But you've done a kind of a different and updated version of it.
Well, yeah, I did. You know, I changed the key from like E to F. I added a bridge and I changed the lyrics because I'm terrible at covers anyway. And I figured I might as well just do what needed to be done. I felt like, I mean, I lost a brother. You know, he was 14 years old, you know, to gun violence. I lost a cousin who was 16 years old to gun violence. The kid that I grew up with, you know, was murdered in the barbershop. So I just, for me, it was, I thought of my mother. I thought of all those women who bury their children. And I wanted to, for me, that's how I interpreted the song.
And you raised that child all by yourself. Then the policeman shot him.
It's just my interpretation, and I wanted to, especially for my mom, and that pain, that we live in the greatest country in the world, so they say, the great empire, and here we have this proliferation of firearms in communities where kids get guns. When I was a kid, I wanted a gun. That was easy. Mm. And that's really the problem.
So how many of these songs are kind of ripped from the headlines of your life? Are they autobiographical, most of them?
I'd probably... You know, I never, that's a very good question. But yeah, like when I start talking, it all comes out. But yeah. I think, like, you know, we're just observe. We want to contribute as artists. I mean, I want to. I know I've been, I always call myself a recovering narcissist. I mean, and so I know that sickness of like, I'm more of me. And that's kind of, that's where I am right now. And that's what I want to do. That's why I make music now. I mean,
That's why you're Fantastic Negrito.
Fantastic Negrito!
Not just any old Negrito, right,
yeah,
but Fantastic Negrito.
Thank you for making that point. I want you to go on tour with me, and I want you to say that every show.
You know what struck me, though, in the first song you did for us was the phrase, sweet, empty pop lyrics.
Yeah, sweet, empty. I've been guilty of writing sweet, empty pop lyrics, so I know. I know a lot about that. They don't give you $1 million for nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to pick on people. I mean, I feel like I'm the old guy now, and I'm happy to be that guy, and that's my responsibility. In a way, it's good that people in their 40s can make music that everyone wants to listen to. I think that that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to keep telling it like it is.
Well, now you said before about the blues that, you know, in your community, people don't know Robert Johnson. They don't know Skip James, Charlie Patton, Son House, all these legends.
Geniuses.
So
let me just say, hold up. I want to say not only geniuses, but they are really the fathers and the founders of world pop culture. If you break down Robert Johnson, man, he's an MC, basically.
Absolutely.
He's a gangster rapper, basically, yeah. You know. But it's up to, I feel like it's my, you know, it's a responsibility in teaching that.
So what the question I was going to ask you was, when you play these songs and you're looking out at the audience, who are you seeing? I mean, are you reaching those people that you're trying to reach?
I think that I am definitely starting to. I mean, I was just on Empire, and I'm seeing a lot of my brothers and sisters come for. Like, man, this is crazy. Like, they think I'm so original, you know. But
which song was it?
It was Lost in the Crowd.
Right, right, the one you're going to do
next. And
so they're
just getting this hard blues. It's like if somebody called me the punk rock Al Green. But they're, and it's good. I mean, it's part of who we are. You know, I'm not doing anything that's so incredible. I'm just picking from a very nice garden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. I was on tour and opening up for Chris Cornell in Europe. And Chris went to Barcelona, and I couldn't go to that festival. So someone suggested that I play this really small English pub. I'm getting ready to play. I look up, and it's Robert Plant. Speaking of picking from the garden, I'm like, holy shit, this is Robert Plant. And he's standing there with his arms folded, and he's just looking at me. And he stands there for the whole set, and I'm done. He calls me over, and it was a great conversation about just this garden of roots music. And he's mentioned some people I'd never heard of, but of course I pretended like, yeah. He goes, "What are you doing there?" He's like, "Lost in the Crowd. It's like Blind Willie Johnson." And I was like, "Yeah, of course." But I really didn't know who Blind Willie Johnson was.
But I'm sure you went straight back home.
I went to the hotel and Googled it, but it was just a great conversation. He's just so intelligent, this guy. I mean, he just, in 30 minutes, he just blew my mind, with his knowledge of music. And he was talking about when he picked from that garden.
Sure.
And he kind of talked about Black Americans going back and picking from that garden. It was great, Robert Plant. Robert Plant meeting.
It's funny you mention him, because one of your songs, Rant Rushmore, has that kind of descending line that we hear in Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, that Led Zeppelin
covered.
Oh, I'm
sure. I mean, I'm influenced by all of that. I mean, if it's there, that's right, it's there, you know. I love how English white kids in the 60s took the blues and then just gave it back to us. It's like, here, there you go. And then, you know, we can listen and like, okay, that's cool. Let me give it back to you now. It's great.
Yeah.
That's a great thing about music. It transcends all the bullshit. You know?
So you mentioned Lost in the Crowd, which is the song you did on Empire. You want to do that for us here on Soundcheck today?
Let's do it. Neither one of us can survive it. But
you could all be trifle. And we're trifle trying to find it, baby. We're just people, lonely people, you and I. We're just people, lonely people, you and I. Trying to find it. I know that neither one of us can survive it. Ready to go, Lord, we travel. And we travel, trying to find it. I tell you, we're just people, lonely people. And I, we're just people, lonely people, you and I. La la la, la la la, la la la, lonely people.
That is Fantastic Negrito live on Soundcheck with Lost in a Crowd, a song that he performed at the end of the TV show Empire.
Yes, but it wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't. But you got to do the whole song in that English pub for Robert Plant.
I sure did, and he made the Blind Willie Johnson.
Right. Now, did you get a chance to actually listen to some of Blind Willie Johnson's songs?
Are you kidding me? That night, that's all that I did. Holy shit, where's Blind? And I'm like, oh, okay, I get what he's, kind of that edgy, raw, humming thing. And
well, especially his song, Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground.
I never know the
it's
titles
the one with
to
the humming.
That was the one.
That's the when you start the song with the humming and then right. Come back to it later, and it's like, oh my God, it's like 1933 or whatever it is all
yeah,
over
that's,
again.
That's what it was interesting, but that's good. You learn, you know. It's all like I said. It's the same garden. I mean, it's the amazing thing about music and this, especially this music, this American music, this Black American art form, which is really just reached all over the globe, and it's fascinating.
Yeah,
and it's given back to us, and it's awesome.
Now, that is also the song you played for the NPR Tiny Desk concert when they did their competition.
That is the song that I played in. That's actually the song that the collective said, Black Ball Universe. I may plug them again. They said, hey, man, you got to go out and write about people. Stop writing about yourself and how wicked you are. And they would say, like, you got to go out. This guy's name is Malcolm Spellman. He's the writer in the collective. And he goes, I want you to look at people. Not just women. Look at everybody. Look at their faces. Look at working people. And don't come back and don't call me again until you have a song. So that was my challenge from my collective, which I love being in. The collective always wins. I think that one, how we can combat this new tyranny economically against us is that we should all be in collectives. And I voted in the collective not to do the NPR Tiny Desk. See what I mean? I don't want all the power.
Yeah.
I love not having all the power. I think it's the new American way. Well, we don't have to become communists or socialists and make everybody scared. Because I'm probably the greediest person in the room, so I know that I've become, I mean,
it's just you and me. You don't have a whole lot to
beat.
When
I see people like hiding, and they all look so loving. But no, but I mean, in a given room, I'm probably the worst, I always say. So I learned really that, wow, you get more when you share.
Yeah, yeah.
That's better. I think I should find, you know.
Kindergarten's good for that, too.
I need to go back
try kindergarten.
Hey, that'd be good. We could take the cameras. Wasn't there a movie about that? Somebody did that.
Isn't that Kindergarten Cop, a Schwarzenegger movie or something that he goes back
Our former governor. Oh
yes,
my God,
your former governor.
Why do you say mine, Jesus?
Because he wasn't my governor. We had Elliot Spitzer, a model of decorum.
Well, he liked the ladies. I mean, yes, I can relate to that.
He liked one lady a little too much.
That was an expensive lady.
Yes, it was. Be that as it may, you did enter the Tiny Desk competition. So did 7,000 other people. You won. Congratulations.
Me?
Okay. Yeah, no. And people can now hear the song yet again in another version on the album The Last Days of Oakland, the debut under the name Fantastic Negrito. And boy, this has been a great time spending some time with you here in the studio today.
I've had a wonderful time. Thank you very much.
That does it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but there's much more on our website, our weekly music roundup, our daily gig alerts, and of course, our Soundcheck podcasts, bringing you live music and videos and lots more. That's at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.